Welcome back to Making It with Thomas Cook. Thomas, last time you said, I'm leaving LA. I've done the Emmys. I've done the Oscars. And now it's time for me to journey east to Washington, D.C. And your direct quote was, get ready, Washington. I'm coming. What happened?
I had just finished doing the Emmys with this production company, and I had said that we were going to do the Kennedy Honors. I really don't remember Washington, D.C. very much. As a kid, I went once with my family, and that was it. There was nothing about D.C. that overwhelmed me or made me feel like, wow, wow, wow. But the Kennedy Honors is this huge TV show where they honor all the greatest stars in history, and they salute them. And the President of the United States attends. And I'm like, oh my God, that's when I said in the last story, Susan Davis was the woman that was in charge of the National Center for Missing Children, owned a PR firm, and I called her back, and this is the true meaning of networking. Called her back, said, Susan, it's Thomas Cook. I'm coming to Washington, D.C., and I am going to be working with the Kennedy Honors, and would love to see you. Susan's story might be a little different than mine. I'm not quite sure whose story is correct, but we'll have to figure that out. Susan said, Thomas, why don't you stay with me during the time you're in D.C. filming the Kennedy Honors? I said, oh, that'd be awesome. So I showed up at her door with two pieces of luggage, two pillows, and my arms full. Maybe she thought I was only going to stay 2 or 3 days, but I ended up staying, I think, 2 weeks. I think Susan tells people like a month. It was 2 weeks, maybe three and a half. During this time of the production that's close to like Thanksgiving and going after Thanksgiving with the Kennedy Honors, had an amazing experience, loved it, was part of history. The Kennedy Honors has been around a long time. It's really awesome. When I was there, it was really cool that I was able to meet everyone backstage, Goldie Hawn and her mom, some of the other people from the Kennedy Honors. I was trying to remember. I'll come back to some of them. It's on my thank you page. If you go to thomascookdc.com, you can see all those thank yous to people throughout my life. That was an amazing experience. Living with Susan, I'd come home every night and she'd ask me about the shows and who was who, and I would talk about them. What was kind of funny was, maybe when people say you overstay, you're welcome. Susan said to this day, the only way to get me out of her house was she offered me a job in Washington, D.C. And she said, think about it. And if you decide you want it, come back, because D.C. would like to have somebody who thinks out of the box, and I like your energy. And I went back to L.A. and actually sat at my table that I shared this apartment with Samantha, who was a model, actress, playmate, an amazing friend. For 12 years, we lived there in L.A. She traveled the world. This is the same girl that went on a date with Jerry Seinfeld we talked about in the other episodes. I had to think about it. I had to ask myself, and this is where a lot of this came into mind for me, the name of the book, Making It. Because I actually sat there in my dining room in L.A. and said, if I move on and move to Washington, D.C. and work for a PR firm, can I actually say that I made it? Can I actually say that I sang for presidents, kings and queens, traveled the world, wrote songs for the rich and the poor? And when I looked at my life, I actually did everything I said I was going to do. That new chapter in my life was going to be recreating myself, reinventing myself. It was scary. Thank God for really cheap, inexpensive wine in those days, because I sat there and really asked myself, oh my goodness, if I move all the way to Washington and let all this go, what am I going to do? And then I had an epiphany. I could always move back. And I was so in my head thinking, if I leave LA, I'll never be able to come back again. I'm giving it all up. And people, it's really that simple. If you're not happy, move back. For me, though, in my head, I never wanted to go backwards. I only wanted to go forward. Let me repeat that. I didn't want to go backwards in my life. I wanted to go forward. I packed up everything, put it on a moving van. Samantha was getting engaged to be married. She had moved on as well. So the time was right. And you know, when timing happens, you just go with the flow. You don't question it. Went, ended up in Washington. Susan offered me a job in a PR firm. PR. I looked that up. It means public relations. So to create my new journey, I was going to be in PR, public relations. It's communicating with people. It's being good with people. Sometimes I call it spinning a story. I ended up in Washington, and 3 weeks later, I'm in the White House, St. Paddy's Day, because Susan was and is an amazing Irish woman who does a lot for Ireland and the U.S. and has great Irish heritage, and ended up in the White House at St. Paddy's Day. I'll never forget, after the White House party, meeting President Bush at the time, I remember looking at Susan and saying, "God, you're amazing what you've done." And I said, "You know, this was the beginning of what I brought to the table, or what I was able to think out of the box." I looked at this brilliant woman and said, "Susan, I think it'd be a great idea if you host the first ever U.S.-Ireland Business Summit." And she said, "What does that look like to you, Thomas?" I said, "Bring all these leaders together that are doing manufacturing and at that time, all the pharmaceutical companies were looking at doing big factories in Ireland because of the tax incentives." So Susan, God bless her, she got a little whiff of my dream, and she actually made it a reality and was able to bring all these CEOs of companies from the United States and people from Ireland, bring them together on trade and literally have the first ever U.S.-Ireland Business Summit. And she hosted that. A single woman put this idea, this concept, and actually made it a reality. So for the beginning part of me, it was having great ideas, but then working with somebody like her and her team to implement ideas and make them happen was the first time I actually got a taste of what it was like to know business, feel success, and be proud of doing more than just giving an idea. And it was back then in my 20s, I realized, if you're going to give an idea, that's great, but if you can't implement it, then it's just a lot of hot air. So she taught me a lot back then on that. That was one of the first amazing things we did, having everyone from State Department and the White House and everyone from Ireland, from the North and the South, from Dublin and Belfast, learning the difference between the North and the South, and the English part and the Irish part, and the colors, orange. That was a lot of fun. So I was her Director of Special Projects. I loved that word. She was being so kind to me. Because trying to find a title, what does that mean? So during that time with Susan, what was really amazing is, wow, her company has actually done the Holocaust Museum opening, the Women's War Memorial opening, the World War II Memorial, the MLK Memorial, all these memorials. She was the PR firm that opened all those, and a lot of other stuff more than that. But how proud I was to be part of the Holocaust Museum and the anniversary. They brought back all of the survivors that were still living from the Holocaust. And they came in from all over the world to the Holocaust Memorial in D.C. I cannot tell you how emotional that was to have met all of these survivors. And they were all in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. And this would be the last time they, as a group, ever got together. This was a piece of history that will be gone forever, never forgotten. But these people, wow, every single one of them wanted to tell their story. That's also when I learned, what do you do when there's that many amazing people, and when you're going to have a dinner at the convention center with thousands of people, who gets the front row? How do you pick who sits in the front row? Touche, Susan, there was no front row. They did it in the round. So that was one of those moments to be like, wow, that's cool. We did the Leukemia Ball, which was the largest black tie event in DC for cancer. And back then, I didn't know very much about leukemia. But Susan did ask me if I knew talent, and that was the year that I was able to get Wayne Newton 1 year, and then the next year I got a comedian by the name of Jerry Seinfeld. So people, this story keeps on going round and round and round. And Jerry came to that in D.C. One of my greatest, well, God, there's so much to talk about with D.C. One of my greatest moments that I will live on forever is being part of the World War II Memorial. Everyone had to think about what are we going to do with hundreds and hundreds of people? And if they're going to sit down, these people in their 70s, 80s, 90s, in the middle of the summer, it was the first time the mall had had that much seating because of the age of the people. And it was also the first time they brought all the presidents of the United States together under one roof. And that usually never happens under one area because of security reasons. So the World War II Memorial, Tom Hanks came because of the movie Band of Brothers. All these amazing people. And there was one tent that was next to the stage. And that tent was only for the VIPs, which means all of the Secret Service, all of FBI, all of Homeland, everybody had to wait outside of the tent. Only the VIPs were in that tent, and one guy with a bullhorn. Guess who the guy was with the bullhorn? Yes, Brian, it was me. So the funnest part of all is being on this bullhorn and keeping everybody on time and making sure they knew when their time was, when they had to get up on stage and do their speech and get off stage and the next one. So can you imagine me, this young boy in Washington, D.C., with a bullhorn yelling, Clinton, Dole, Bush, and going through the list of all of these amazing people and presidents and telling them what to do next. I swear to God, I had a program and I pulled it out and I knew that I had to do this. But I'm not one of these people that does the Hollywood stuff. But I actually asked every single person that spoke on that stage to sign my program. I have the only program signed by every single speaker that day. I've already decided that when my time comes and I go to heaven, I will leave that to the Smithsonian because I know it's the only one that's out there. And I was so proud to be a part of that incredible moment to have met Republicans, Democrats, to meet these amazing military men and women that fought their lives for our country. And it was beyond amazing. And then the next one, the MLK Memorial. My goodness gracious, Martin Luther King Memorial. This was for years in the making. It was incredible. I'm skipping along on a lot of this stuff because there's so many things to talk about, but let's go back for a second before I talk about MLK. One of the other things too that I was so proud to be a part of during the Bush administration was they wanted to do a story about that we support our troops, but not the war. What do we do? And there was a whole group of us with Susan Davis where we were brainstorming and coming up with ideas and thoughts about what do you do with this? How do you tell America that you don't support the war, but you support the troops? And I was at the Pentagon listening to all of these people talk. And they were brigadier generals. There were admirals, colonels. There was all the top of all the military. And I'm this young little whippersnapper and listening with eyes open wide. And I'll never forget, came my time to give an idea. And that's why I always tip my hat to Susan for all the things she does for young people. And she allows people to be creative and to go there. And that makes a true leader, to be that secure with yourself and your company and to allow others to flourish. That's an amazing leader. So thank you, Susan, for letting me speak, letting me be creative, letting me be me. And yes, there was a clause that I could wear certain clothes and you wouldn't fire me. So we're underground, Pentagon, having the conversation. Then my turn came up and I said, you know, it's great that you're all talking about your ideas. I said, but what you're forgetting is every one of these boys and girls that joined the military, most of them join because, number one, they want to get out of their small town. And number two, they want a free education because they don't have enough money to go to college. So I said, screw the Super Bowl, excuse my French. I said, but that's for the rich people. I said, what we need to do is think about the boys and girls, men and women, that actually come from the salt of the earth of our country. And so the Midwest was my idea. And I said, why don't we do this? Let's do a live satellite feed from Iraq and Iran, shoot it down on the Indy 500. It's this big, huge racetrack. And let's get that, what's that gentleman's name again? I said he was Secretary of State. Oh, Colin Powell, that was him, yeah. So we got Colin Powell, let's get him to do the pace car. Let's get, you know, the family to make the announcement. And then let's do the entire opening of the Indy 500, the second largest sporting event in America. And if you didn't know that, either did I, it's the second largest sporting event than the Super Bowl in America. And these are the people from the Midwest that built our country. They all looked at me like I was crazy, and they said, that's a brilliant idea, but how in God's name would we ever make that happen? And that's where, if you go back into some of my chapters, I talked about Indiana and sitting next to that young lady who was pregnant, that was a sweet, sweet girl, that was shy and quiet, who asked me to sing to her dying grandmother, and her name was Josie George Hellman. And yes, it was their family that owned the Indy 500. And so I shared that story with everyone in Washington. I said, let me give her a call. And Allison Barber at the time was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense. And Allison, thanks for believing in me and our ideas, because you took that with Susan and you made that come to life. We took a trip. We all went to the Indy 500. Josie, George, Hellman, you followed through with it. You made the meeting happen. We met everybody at the Indy 500, got to see the racetrack. Never forget, it was amazing to think an idea again became a reality. And Colin Powell did come. I was able to meet him. I was able to meet everybody there at the Indy 500 with all of us, with Allison and Susan and the team, and the White House was involved and all the military, and we did the satellite feed all around the audience. They had cards, and when they put them up, it said, America Supports You. And America Supports You was the campaign we did. So America Supports You and that campaign, I was so proud to be a part of. To this day, people, the opening of the Indy 500 since 2005, or six, has been a salute to our troops every single year. And I can put my head on a pillow, and as I said before, I ask myself two questions. Did I do something today to make a difference, or did somebody help make a difference in my life? That I can put my head on a pillow and feel so proud that every year, the Indy 500, a salute to you, salutes our men and women of our military and our families. That was a pretty proud moment, and that would have never happened if I wasn't in Washington, D.C., if Susan Davis didn't give me a job and believe in me or believe in my craziness. That was another one of the most amazing opportunities. During that time, I had done some lecturing with Amos Gelb, who had won 3 Emmys in journalism. And Amos is this amazing man and a journalist who would always ask me to speak to his interns and talk about internships and talk about networking and building their brand, as you say, Brian, so well. And I spent that time, and Amos was really helpful because I had finished my music career, but there was one last thing I had to do. There's a book that came out. It's called The Secret. And if any of you remember, The Secret was the biggest hit, best-selling book and movie for years. And basically, The Secret, it was the Bible rewritten over again. The Secret is no secret. It's been around forever and ever and ever and ever, but it was repackaged. And Rhonda did a great job on that, and she was able to bring in people like Jack Canfield, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Dr. John Gray, Men from Mars, Women from Venus, Lisa Nichols, the list goes on and on and on. It was such an amazing best-selling book that I'm like, what is this thing? And what is everybody listening to and doing? At that time, there was a young lady named Nicole Wilde. Nicole was a young woman doing things for women in Miami and working with people like that to help them. And I'll never forget, her passion was so amazing to help women that had fallen in their lives, needed a job, had kids, were single moms, and they clothed them so they could get back in the workplace. They taught them how to interview. She came to Susan Davis to have the PR firm help her with this nonprofit organization. And at the end of the meeting, she had left the meeting, and Susan decided that I would be the person to be appointed to Nicole, who actually talks more than me, and that's very rare. So I got the account with Nicole. Oh my goodness, that was in 2006, was seven. And we had a blast. We did some amazing things. I was able to, with help from all my friends in my life from LA days, I was able to get all these celebrities, including Ellen, who gave her swan dress. I got everybody to donate things for this auction, and it was awesome. And Nicole, to this day, Nicole and I are still working together. We still do projects together, and that I'll tell you a little bit later, but just remember Nicole Wilde. That was a really amazing part of that journey with Nicole, because I asked her to help me with the book, The Secret. And the next chapter, when I tell you about The Secret, I cannot even tell you what you're about to hear.
What is it about me that inspires me? Balance is an illusion. See what's really there.
If you enjoyed that song and would like to support Thomas Cook's music and ongoing podcast, please visit iTunes, where you can purchase Thomas's album, The Gift of Words and Music. For more information and to book Thomas as a speaker at your next event, please visit thomascookdc.com.